At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are heading into another hour on this Saturday evening here on VSiN Live Bet Saturday. Danny Burke live in Chicago, Jared Smith out there in Las Vegas. All the action for March Madness has been exciting. It's lived up to the hype. It's been enjoyable for a lot of people. Some people maybe devastating, depending on who you're backing. We know our guy Jared is content with the Owls making it to the Final Four, waiting tomorrow to see who their matchup is going to be, potentially between Creighton and then San Diego State. Right now, we're going to have tip-off with Gonzaga and UConn, so we will be keeping tabs on this from an in-game betting standpoint. Jared sweating out the first half under. Myself, I have my ticket from before the tournament on Gonzaga to reach the Final Four at plus 420. Right now, I haven't hedged because obviously Gonzaga was
Gonzaga was
in the underdog role, Jared. Yeah, and they didn't even give me a cash-out opportunity in the book that I'm
Screw
at.
It. Let's ride, baby.
If we get to the position where, it's an in-game spot, I'm not feeling good, all right, maybe I'll look to it, but I'm going to sweat it out right now. We're going to let it ride. See what happens.
I like the first possession here. Two quick shots, which I don't love, but two misses. And again, live betting, the first media timeout, I erase it from my memory because these guys are so jacked up. They're so jittery. And then the first media timeout happens. I just hope that nothing crazy, like a 10-0 start. Like, I hope it's nip and tuck, 2-3-point game, maybe a two-possession game. And then you reset and, you watch that. I think that second media timeout from when you come back from break after the first media to the second media timeout, that's when I really start to hone in on, okay, am I going to get a good number here or am I going to have to rethink my strategy? But you nailed it before the break. I always put a number in my head on where I want to bet a team at. And that's where I kind of try to get my dividing line. And if I hit it, great. If not, okay. I set my number. I didn't get my number. I move on.
All right, yeah, we'll be looking forward to it. Should be a good one. UConn puts on the first bucket, 2-0, 18 and a half minutes ago, so this one just starting. Gonzaga chucking up some bad-looking shots. But again, it's early. They've been rusty before. Yeah. We'll see how they handle it this time around. Jared, let's go ahead and talk a little bit of baseball, my friend. We've got opening day starting this week. May have to make a trip to the friendly confines here in the Windy City and hit that Cubs game up against the Brewers. We'll see, TBD, but still plenty of betting opportunities. And one of those groups of opportunities, I guess you could say, I kind of stumbled upon this. Over at DraftKings, I'm looking under the MLB tab, and they have a section that says 5-0 start. So basically, of course, as indicated by the name, you're betting if a team is going to have a 5-0 start to the regular season. For example, the Yankees, the yes is 8-1, the no is minus 1,200. The Braves, the yes is 10-1, the no is minus 1,600. The list goes on and on and on. But one that stood out to me, Jared, revolved around the San Diego Padres. Mm. And the reason that is because I believe they are the shortest shot in order or in terms of starting out 5-0. So their yes is plus 475. The no is minus 650. Nobody is attracted to the idea of laying that much juice. And I'm not saying I've done it, nor am I necessarily going to do it. But Jared, if I'm going to bet something like this, I think I'd actually be more interested in the no minus 650 than the yes in this specific standpoint, because winning multiple games in a row in baseball, incredibly difficult. We all understand this. When you're doing it at the beginning of the year, when you're kind of getting all the kinks, right, you're working them out, you're shaking off the rust. Oh, and we have new rules in Major League Baseball, and you're seeing a team four times in a row, which the Padres are. Now, I get that it's the Rockies and it's at home. And look, I'm infatuated with this Padres roster, much like everybody else. But that's probably also what's inflating this line at the beginning of the year. The fifth game would be against the Diamondbacks at home. But what I'm just saying, Jared, basically is, look, it's incredibly hard to sweep a team in three games. I mean, to do it in four games and at the very beginning of the year seems like a lot to ask for. I think this betting section is very interesting to look at DraftKings.
Totally agree. So the futures market is difficult because you are betting into a market that theoretically is priced against you. 10, 15, 20% holds on most of these markets. And also with baseball futures, not only is it the hold, but the length of the season just creates so many twists and turns that you'd like to think you're going to have a better number at some point on a certain team, especially if it's an underdog team, or excuse me, if it's a favorite team. The reason why this market's interesting is because I believe, I might be wrong, I have my square moments, the futures market is at its most inefficient point at the early stage of the season, when we have no idea really what these teams are. The movement then settles, teams get slotted as they go through their seasons, and then once we get to the All-Star break, once we get to those checkpoints later in the year, there is very little value in the futures market. This is a unique market because it's technically a futures market, kind of, and it's priced in a very short-term window. What'd you say, five games? I saw 10 games. Yeah. I saw there's other checkpoints on DraftKings, you know, race to 10, race to 5 kind of bets. But the reason why I think either side, if you feel like you have an edge based off of the schedule, based off of the teams, is interesting because the inefficiencies of a futures market are at their peak at the early stage of the year. So again, if you feel like you see an edge with a certain team early in the season and that futures market will close after just five games, the market won't have time to catch up, and you're actually betting into a very soft market. So yeah, that is a very interesting way to look at baseball season. But that being said, also very hard to predict where are these teams at the early stage. Are the pitchers ready? Is it going? So there's a lot of moving parts with that bet. But theoretically speaking, if you handicap the teams properly, and I would recommend reading Adam Burke's articles about all the previews and all the, you know, the rules and those types of things to get you up to speed, yeah, there's absolutely some value with that market because it's priced very differently than a usual futures market is.
For sure. And it's a bet too that not many people are offering. So, and by the way, there you go. You see the 2023 MLB betting guide on the screen. $19, all about the new rules, how that's going to affect us from a betting standpoint. Adam Burke, Steve Mackinnon, tremendous work all around. Be sure you check it out at VSIN.com. But yeah, look, if you feel like you have an advantage, this is a nuanced type of bet, I believe, for sports books in general, because I don't recall seeing it before.
No.
And it's not like it's anything outrageous, but like, yeah, you're getting these prices that it would be something for an entire season. And it's just if a team's going to win five games in a row, which is very, very difficult in baseball to happen, especially at the very beginning of the season. So with that Padres price, yeah, the no minus 650, the cheapest price on the no that I've seen. I wouldn't hate the idea of it if you think you have an advantage. And again, it's not saying that I'm telling you to bet it or that I'm going to bet it, but I think it's worth having the conversation. And, Jared, what I also think is worth discussing, too, maybe not even with the Padres, the yes at plus 475, maybe you look at another team like, I don't know, the Mets, yes, at 12-1, where, yes, it is juicy, but it's juicy because realistically, again, you're probably going to lose at least one game. So instead of betting the yes at 12-1, or maybe you could throw some pizza money on it, sure, who knows, but would you just recommend to roll over the money line prices at that point? Is that something that you would offer instead and just recommend to take it game by game?
It's a good question. See, again, I think the inefficiencies of this market leads me to believe you might actually get a decent price with one of these. So it's all about who they play also. I would bet that a favorite rolling over won't pay as well as you might think.
Right.
If it's like a minus 200, right? Like, we think the Mets are going to be not $2 favorites, but anytime Verlander or Scherzer are on the hill, I mean, you're guaranteed two of those. They're going to be probably $3 or $4 favorites in those games. Whereas the Padres, I don't think have that high-end start. Like, who's the Padres' ace? Is it Musgrove? Darvish?
They got Snell starting game one.
Yeah, see, I don't view Snell as a $2, $3 favorite, right? Not like Verlander or Scherzer are going to be. So
I like minus 150 or something like that at most, I feel like.
Yeah, so I think with the Padres, the yes would have more value than rolling over the price because you're not – or excuse me, with the Mets, the yes would have more value than rolling over the money line prices because you would expect two of those five money line prices to be exorbitant prices with Scherlander.
Sure.
Scherlander. That's – is. Did I just create the nickname for the Mets this year? Scherlander? Scherzer and Verlander? It actually rolls off the tongue pretty well.
It does. That works well.
I would say bet the yes on the Mets with the Padres because their starting staff are maybe a slight tier below. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still think Snell and Musgrove and Dart. I mean, those are all really good pitchers. But I don't think they're going to be priced like Scherlander will be. In two of those first five games. I think game to game, I very much view the Mets like I view the Yankees now. Like there's just not a lot of value betting on them game to game. And unfortunately, the way, and this goes back to our original point to tie it all up with a bow about the baseball futures market, it's not my favorite futures market to bet into. Here are the baseball futures that I like. Cy Young, MVPs. Usually you get some pretty good prices on some of those guys. But the team markets to win the division, like the Mets or the Yankees to win the American League East when they were dominant, like there's no value there. Like you might as well just wait till they have a losing streak and then hope you can get a better price. Because betting into the market at this stage, I think those markets they're not very appetizing for me.
100%, and it's because how long this season is, and baseball is such a gruesome sport to play. Like, teams inevitably go through lulls. Like, no team is fantastic from start to finish. You deal with injuries, bad weather patterns, bad hitting streaks, all of these things to where more often than not, you're probably going to get a better number. Maybe not with the top-tier teams, but the middling teams. For example, I mean, me being a Cubs fan, curious their odds to make the playoffs. It's like plus 350 or something like that. They're going to go on a bad streak at some point, probably get 5-1 or better. So a lot to look forward to in baseball. We'll keep talking some of that. We'll update you with the March Madness action. All of that here on VSiN Live Bet Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with our MLB betting guide. It's available now, and it has futures, team previews, and best bets. Steve Mackinnon has power ratings on every team, plus Adam Burke breaks down how the new MLB rules will impact bettors. Whether you bet baseball every day or you're looking for valuable futures bets, our betting guide has it all. So make sure you sign up today to get full access to VSiN for 30 days for just $19, folks. And that's available at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It is VSiN Live Bet Saturday. Danny Burke live here in Chicago. Jared Smith posted up at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa out there in Las Vegas. We are underway, well underway, almost halfway through the first in terms of Gonzaga and UConn. Right now, UConn with the early lead, Jared. I believe it is 15-12. Trying to get my screen to load. Yeah, 15-12. UConn laying 3.5, and not too much of a difference from where they closed, anywhere from 2.5 to 3. Money line -$2 I'm seeing out here in Illinois at BetMGM in favor of UConn. Gonzaga +155, total at 150 in the hook. You were looking pretty good for your first half under to begin. The pace is pretty fast. These guys are missing, especially from deep, so you're looking okay so far, but you probably never feel safe when it's with these type of offenses.
Oh, no, and not Gonzaga. Gonzaga is it Gonzaga? I always mess up the pronunciation. Is it Gonzaga or Gonzaga?
Gonzaga is what I've been told.
Okay. I'll be honest, I really don't care. I got the thumbs up here from Santos, so I think I'm good.
Because I remember the reason that I remember is because when I moved out to Las Vegas, everyone's like, I hate when people say Nevada. It's Nevada, just like Gonzaga, not Gonzaga. So I'm like, all right, I got it.
So if I say Nevada, I will be booted off the air here at
It triggers people out there. So yeah, be careful.
Gonzaga, they just push. And I think Timmy is feeling out where his space is going to be in this game. They called a couple travels on him. So again, that's not something you see very often with Drew Timmy. He's they don't really call anything. He's like the LeBron James of college basketball. They never call the trap him. And but also, to be fair to Drew, there is an art to footwork, and he is like a merengue dancer. He's very good at his footwork, and I think that's why he doesn't get a lot of travels called on him. I think there's a skill to it too. As much as it is, maybe he gets the benefit of the doubt. He's got slick feet, sweet feet, as they say, right? But I think he's still kind of feeling out what his vibe is going to be here. But he's got a couple of field goals, I think 3 field goals, actually. So he's got a little space, but he's getting bullied in the paint. Really, the vibe for me is if UConn can continue to play at this pace, that's what I think is going to make Gonzaga feel a lot more comfortable. UConn doesn't want to play at this pace. This game's being played at a very up-tempo pace. Now, no one can make a shot right now, and that's why the under is trending in a positive direction. UConn is 6-for-16. Gonzaga is 5-of-14. Both of those teams are shooting sub-40%. Gonzaga is 0-for-4 from 3. That will change. But again, I had a vibe coming into this game that Gonzaga might just be a little bit weary, I guess, from what took place on Thursday night. But I think they'll find their legs eventually. I think they'll play better at some point. But so far, I could jinx this, so far, this first half is playing out, I think, as expected. And I would say, what did we picture? Five? That's the number. If we get a five with Gonzaga, right? No, Gonzaga, I think I will fire away. But we're not there yet. And the first half total now 68.5 on the live line at DraftKings. So I've got about 4 points of cushion in my back pocket. I think this game's trending under in the first half. We'll see about the second half. Who knows? First half, I think, trending under. And I think we might get a five at one point, but we might not. Maybe that's the number that the books don't want to push it to unless UConn goes on a really, really strong run.
In a quick update on a couple players we were mentioning before the game, we mentioned Drew Timmy, and he does have 6 points, seven shot attempts so far. You and I were kind of staying off air. Like, it's one thing for this to be a tough matchup for Drew Timmy, but it's another, even though he can be creating and making points here, like, he's working his butt off to get it. And at some point, you got to think that catches up, unless he just has the most outstanding conditioning, which these kids do, don't get me wrong. True. But still, I mean, you just played a deep game the other night. You got to turn around and go against these bigs, and you're working for everything. So even though he's got six now, it doesn't mean it's going to come easy the rest of the way. And then Sonogo's gotten a quick six so far, too, on four shot attempts. So a couple of guys we were looking at. Timmy's points prop was 21.5. Sonogo was 16.5 with some juice to the over. Those guys are leading scorers at this moment.
Yeah, and UConn plus one on the glass, 11-10. So not a huge edge there. That's a number we'll keep an eye on. Remember, FAU had a, 41-20 edge on the glass. You take away their turnovers, they win that game by 10. But the foul game will play a factor. Nobody's in early foul trouble. It looks as though the refs are letting them play, which is great. That's how I always feel about college basketball early on in the game, unless it's just a slugfest, which this game does not appear to be one of those physical slugfests. Usually the Elite Eight games can be really tough because it's a 48-hour turnaround and everything's on the line. Same thing in the from the Final Four to the National Championship game. Like, the first few minutes of that National Championship game is just very unique because you just don't know which team's going to have their legs early after what just took place on Saturday night. You know, usually 2 days is a quick turnaround for these guys. You know, and I know they do it a lot in the conference tournaments, and then they're used to doing it. Obviously, if you've made it to the Final Four, you've had the quick turnaround twice, and you've already overcome it Thursday to Saturday, Friday to Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, it does appear as though both teams are just a little bit off, right? Like, they're just – they're not quite in sync early. It looks like we're going to cross the threshold of halfway through this first half, and we're under the 30-point total. So – 60s really is a realistic first half total here. As Timmy gets fouled, he'll go to the line. So we'll get to 30 here with 10-10 left in the first half. But I think 60s is kind of where this game's going to be played. And right, whose pace does that favor? That favors UConn. But it also could be a really tight game, and I'd rather have 5 points in my pocket if it's a tight game. But right now, I think the pace favors UConn based off of where the scoring is.
I think you brought up something really valuable in terms of just these beginning of the game jitters. And you mentioned the championship specifically. And when you brought that up, I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, you're absolutely right. Like, it's some of the ugliest basketball, I feel like, that we see at the beginning stages of some of these big games. Because of all those jitters, the pressure's so high, especially to make that first shot on the biggest stage. And remember, they're college kids. Like, these guys are missing open shots from the elbow left and right. And it's not like, Jared, you're not going into this just blindly betting it, but no. You have an idea of that, and then it ties in with the matchup. But is that like you're finding yourself more often than not betting these unders and in the first half because of those reasons?
100%. I mean, the first half unders in the tournament, they're unbelievable. It's been an unbelievable run for them. And not just this year. Like, this isn't just this year. This is every year. I think the numbers that I saw were 58% since 2006. I might be off on the year, but the last decade, it's been about 58% first half unders in the tournament, the first round. Later on, I don't think it holds as much value just blind betting every first half under, because I think teams adjust. This year, the big story was the basketball, right? Overinflated. And also the slickness of the basketball. Also, the practice time at each location before the teams played their first game. The full game unders the first 3 days were printing money. And then we started to see the regression, which is natural. I remember I did this show last Sunday, and I woke up on Sunday morning and I was doing the noon to 4 Pacific slot, so I already saw a little bit of the action. And all of the totals across the board dropped like 3 points because the first 3 days, the unders were at like 75%. So the books just made blanket adjustments. And then what happened on Sunday? The overs went 6-2. Most of them were very slim to the over. So again, this isn't rocket science, guys. We're not reinventing the wheel. You buy low, you sell high. Everything that you see and you hear, your initial instinct should always be to try to fade that in the market. Because if you're seeing it and you're hearing it on national TV, thousands and millions of other people are seeing it and hearing it and they're betting it, and the market's being overinflated. Now, in this particular game, UConn looks like they're playing at the pace that they want. And I think that's where I value a little bit of their chameleon element to their game, where I think Gonzaga has to play a game in the 70s or 80s to win. Right now, the pace is not trending 70s or 80s. We're trending more 60s pace. But that, of course, could change.
Yeah, and Gonzaga's got to limit these turnovers and sloppy play, too. I mean, they had a turnover in their own court on that side when they were just inbounding it, the travels on Timmy. And look, those things can be adjusted. We know this. But when you're already in that underdog role, and like you said, not that they're one-dimensional, but they really have one speed in which they thrive, you got to make sure that it's perfected early on, and you can't keep having to battle back and give UConn, a team that's spread evenly throughout, these open opportunities. So we do see UConn up 19-15, 2.5. Now it's 19-17, so 2.5 on the live line, minus $1.65 for UConn, plus +130 for the Bulldogs. Jared and I will keep updating this game and many more when we return right here on VSiN Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to it. It is VSiN Live Bet Saturday. Danny Burke, your host, live in Chicago. Alongside is Jared Smith in Las Vegas at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. We've got a good one burning right now with UConn and Gonzaga. Still early, 7 minutes to go in the first half. But UConn with a 19-17 lead against Gonzaga. Looking at some of these lines, or live lines rather, UConn minus 1.5, minus $1.30 on the money line, even money on the buyback for the Bulldogs, live total at 147 in the hook. And then I'm looking at this live first half total, Jared. I'm seeing 68.5, but heavy juice to the under, minus 155, just at BetMGM here in Illinois. Jared sweating out the first half under. What number did you get exactly again?
72.5. So I feel like we're trending in the right direction. But like I said, these games just, they explode. Couple of buckets here on back-to-back possessions. So I'd love a couple stops here to get us back trending in the positive territory. But if Gonzaga starts making threes, and they just missed another one. So Gonzaga hasn't made a three yet. I think that's the story of the game right now. If you asked me at halftime, let's say Gonzaga's down a few buckets and it's a low-scoring game, the story of the game is Gonzaga's struggling. This is a bad shooting night for Gonzaga. And if it's a bad shooting night, they don't have a lot else with their offense. They're not a bludgeoning, get to the line a bunch, and you know, make a lot of layups kind of team, although they are a very good shooting team from two-point percentage. They're a shot-making team, and they just missed another one. So this is definitely the story here early on, is Gonzaga's shots are not falling. How do they generate enough offense to get over the hump against a good defense?
Yeah, and they are picking up the pace. Both of these teams is finally the Bulldogs get a three to go. And they take the lead 22-21. Still first half total, I'm seeing 66 in the hook. Again, I'm thinking you are trending in the right direction. Obviously, if you just look at it from a pure numbers and correlate it with the time standpoint, but Gonzaga finally made their first three. They're 1 of 8. UConn is 1 of 9. And UConn's gotten a couple free throw opportunities. Gonzaga's gotten a handful. So that's nice in your favor. It's just that UConn is kind of pushing the ball pretty fast. Like you said, they can certainly play whatever tempo they want, but it seems like they're matching Gonzaga, or at least trying to one-up them with the pace as they responded with a three, and then you get a foul immediately after. So as long as, you kind of don't get this being a habit with the tempo and the play style offensively, hopefully we get you in there and you'll be okay. But it's been a good game so far. Very entertaining. Or it wasn't a foul, actually. It was a turnover, I guess. But, yeah, Gonzaga's just got to, you know, from my standpoint of someone sweating out Gonzaga with the futures bet to make the Final Four, I just really hope that Gonzaga does not dig themselves in another hole, because I really would be terrified of the idea of them having to climb out of it once again, because I don't think you're going to go up against a team in UConn who's going to go on such a abysmal scoring drought like UCLA did.
Gonzaga's pace right now is hectic. They are just flying up the court and getting quick shots. This is going to be a sweat. This total is not even nearly out of the woods yet. We're up to 69.5 now at DraftKings. This is gonna be a sweat. This is literally going to be, I'll probably need a miss on the final possession to win it type of sweat. Because Gonzaga's pace right now is even faster than I could have even possibly imagined. And again, we're now 15 minutes into the game. We know what Mark Few said to his team before the game. Don't let this defense get set. Push the ball. Right. Get it early. That's when we have an edge. Later in the shot clock, we don't have an edge because our half-court offense is not as good as UConn's half-court defense. Obviously, Mark Few, based off of the first 15 minutes that I'm watching, is telling his guys, we need to push because we can actually get out in transition and score. They can't. And UConn will go to the line here to tighten the screws even a little bit more. I'll be honest, I think this is now trending in a very negative direction for an under, because UConn probably is like, uh-oh, these guys can get up and down on us. We need to get some points on the board really fast but here's the thing. If I'm Coach Hurley, I'm trying to slow it down, because that's the pace that UConn wants to play at. The first 10 minutes of this game was very much played at UConn's pace. Gonzaga's really put the pedal down over the last few minutes. They are getting up the floor, and they are getting early shots, and they're good shots. The shots they're getting early are better than the ones that they were taking late. Yeah. So we'll see the counterpoint, quick point counterpoint here, if UConn can figure out a way to slow it down. Right now, Gonzaga is playing about as fast as you could play.
They're sprinting up the court just after a simple inbounds after the made free throw. The first was missed, and they made the second. But I think it's hard for players to kind of remind themselves, because, like, yeah, UConn's pushing it up immediately. And not that they shouldn't. They have the advantage, as they just knocked down a three, which is not going to help either of us here. But you see your opponent pushing it up, and it's hard not to mimic it, because that's just how the overall feel of the game is. But that's when you look to your coach and go, hey, settle down. Let's play our game, not fall into their trap, and do what we do best. But obviously they're doing fine in the sense that they're scoring left and right here. And, got another offensive rebound, but 4 minutes left. Let's hope they wind this clock down now on this possession. But, yeah, a lot of times you've got to remind yourself that, all right, calm down. Yeah, everything kind of accumulates. It gets to you. Play your type of game. Do what you've done best all year. Don't do what Gonzaga wants you to do or what they want to do. Again, this is just me speaking from the standpoint of UConn. I'm backing Gonzaga, so I want them to do whatever they can for success. But I think that's a tough thing these kids have to remind themselves of a bit. And that's probably why, too, at some point in the beginning of the second half, you may see UConn slow it down. Now that they've done this the entirety of the first half, practically, we just got to hope for some misses for your sake. But, this may be coming down to the wire.
I don't like this pace for UConn. I don't. I think if the game is played at this pace, I would very much prefer to bet a second half over. It doesn't seem like this is a pace that UConn wants to be at. And what it does is it leaves their defense very susceptible. So I'm very interested to see let's see what happens the last 4 minutes of this half. Let's see if UConn could push a couple buttons and slow the game down a little bit. And maybe the game naturally slows down. And I mentioned this. There is kind of like an ebb and flow to the first half. The first 4 minutes is usually helter-skelter, very volatile. Then teams kind of find their sea legs, and then you get this burst. And then usually the final 4 minutes of the first half is a little bit more nip and tuck as teams kind of get ready to go into the half in a good spot, whereas the game will slow down a little bit, and now we get the under four, I think, at a very favorable time, right at 4 minutes, where I do think we're going to maybe see just a hair bit of hesitancy with Gonzaga, at least, as they try not to fall too far behind heading into the halftime locker room. If I'm Mark Few and I'm talking to my guys right now, we're at the under four timeout. Here's what I'm saying. Guys, you are 1 of 8 from three. You are shooting 40% from the field, and you've turned it over 5 times. And it's a one-possession game. Relax. Everything's fine. Like, that's what I'd be telling my team at this stage. UConn is not playing at the pace that they want to play at. The pace of this game has quickened to our pace. We just got to make some shots. You guys are the best shooting team in the country, right? What's their KenPom numbers from three? They're the number two EFG team in the country. 58% EFG percentage. Number two from two, number 10 from three. Just play to those percentages, guys. We're going to be fine. You're shooting 18% under your average for the year from two, and you're shooting well under your average from three. Three-point game. We're fine.
Yeah, and you talk about the turnovers. They just had a careless one right there, and a couple of them have been from the Drew Timmy travels, yeah. Something that can easily be corrected. And you put it perfectly. Like, if you can keep this one-possession game, heck, even 4 or 5 points, and you're going into the second half knowing you did not play your best ball, you did not play a clean offensive game, you were not knocking down threes, you should be fine. And that's why they were fine the last couple of games. That's why they were attractive as an in-game bet. And we talked about how it would give us some trepidation if they were having to climb from behind at any point in this game. But that was more to the extent of, say, maybe 7-10 points beyond type of deficit. If it's 5 or lower and they're not playing their cleanest ball, that means UConn isn't either. Even though UConn has the lead, you're not feeling safe about this because you know how and when Gonzaga can flip that switch. And it has been apparent that it's in the second half. Still yeah. Got about 4 minutes to go now, and a lot can change. But both teams, I don't think, you know, in terms of like an in-game betting perspective, it's really tough right now, Jared. 3.5 is the number. In just terms of being what the number is, I would rather take it than lay it. But even if it was like around a pick 'em right now, like I think you can make a case either way, but maybe a little bit stronger to Gonzaga for those reasons that you were stating.
Yeah, I still favor you, Gonzaga here at 5. We'll see if we can get it. I haven't seen it pop up yet. Granted, I've been looking at the first half number a little bit more. First half total 67.5 right now. So again, trending in a good direction, but not a huge cushion to where I'm counting the money yet. We need one more minute of good defense here, and I think we'll get home.
We'll take it, baby. All right, he's Jared Smith, folks. He's out in Las Vegas sweating out this first half under. Danny Burke here in Chicago sweating out Gonzaga to reach the Final Four. We've got a lot going on, and we'll continue that after this quick break here on VSiN Live Bet Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use toward dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. So sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are sweating, to say the least, here on VSiN Live Bet Saturday. Danny Burke, your host here in Chicago. Jared Smith alongside, but out in Las Vegas at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. UConn-Gonzaga going on right now. A minute and a half remains in the first half. UConn with a 36-29 lead. Well, now's your opportunity to bet Gonzaga potentially, Jared.
Yeah.
5.5 is this number. In favor, of course, of UConn. They're laying minus $3 on the money line. Bulldogs plus 220. Look, I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah, I'd still lean toward Gonzaga. And the reason I say that is because they're just giving UConn way too many open looks, like to the point where it's like it can't keep up this easily. And the second chance opportunities, they just had like four freaking shots to finally get the three that they made right before they called that timeout. Get a reset. Calm yourself down. They're discombobulated after a shot gets put up. Get your body on someone else, box down, grab the board, and you would be feeling great about your under, and I'm sure Gonzaga would be within three or four right now if that were the case.
That's it. If that possession ends differently and there's no points there, we hit. There's almost nothing that – because there's only a minute left and we've got a 10-point cushion. Now – there's a lot of scenarios that could beat us. Again, the one good thing, and I mentioned this during our break, they're not in foul trouble. They're not in the bonus. UConn has, I believe, two fouls to give. They're at four, and Gonzaga has one foul to give. So that's positive. We're not going to get a cheapy free throw, hopefully, that's going to ruin this. The thing that's really surprising me is how fast UConn's willing to play here. They are pushing the tempo on their end. I think that's why the over is very much in play for the full game and the second half. I really hope we get one good minute of defense and we get a good second half number on a total, because I would be interested in what the second half over would be based off of the pace that UConn is playing at right now.
Yeah, I'm for sure with you in that regard. Like, let's hope we get some lower pace here, slower pace rather. No scoring, ideally, at least from the side of UConn. But then look at the second half over, not just because you're assuming that at least Gonzaga is going to figure it out offensively, but if it's going to be a close game, there's going to be fouling. If the tempo is going to be this quick, it's going to keep going on in the second half. So I like that idea. We'll keep an eye on it, see where it goes as we're nearing half, 30 seconds left. Gonzaga with the ball, trying to cut this lead down as they trail by five. Put up a three, no good. They finally get an offensive board. But, yeah, I like
that.
See,
Gonzaga should hold for the last shot, but are they going to? Remember I said that. I said if they had an opportunity to take the last shot, are they? And they're not.
Right.
See, that's so dumb to me. How dumb is that? Gonzaga could have taken the last shot of the half and went into the halftime locker room with the last shot. The shot clock was off, and now there's 20 seconds left, and UConn's going to have a chance to get the last shot of the half. Like, it just – that doesn't make sense, right?
It does. They just see an avenue and they take it, which I get it, right? You want to get as many opportunities as you can, especially against a good defense in UConn. But in that
situation, the first half,
you're right.
You want the last shot. Like, I want the last shot of the first half. I want the opportunity to go into the half with momentum.
Yes.
And now
– especially if you're trailing.
Absolutely. Now, there is a chance that Gonzaga misses these free throws and UConn hits a three, and all of a sudden, you're down eight. And you could have been down five at worst. There could have been no scenario where you are down by less than 5 points if you just look up at the clock and you say, oh, we're good. Let's take the last shot. Now there's a chance if you miss two free throws and they hit a three, you're down eight. Like, it just, those are the little things in a high stakes game that make me not want to back a certain team.
No, you're right. It's the little things. And those are what pan out in the end. We see it time and time again, and it is incredibly crucial this time of the year. Look at these numbers really quick, Jared. I know we've kind of updated them, but UConn 4 of 15 from deep. They've taken 15 three-point shot attempts. Gonzaga now just 1 of 9, 11% from deep. Again, we're assuming that will correct itself. How have UConn's numbers from beyond the arc been all year? I don't have it right in front of me. I'm not sure if you do, but what's been like their three-point frequency and then accuracy?
Three-point frequency is high. Accuracy is pretty good. They're top 70 in both categories. And frequency, what Danny means is the ratio of full two-point shots compared to three-point shots. They take a bunch of threes, comparatively speaking, and they're making them. They're top 60 in percentage. So they're a good shooting team. Again, they're a good shooting team. They're top 30 EFG percentage. EFG percentage is a stat we use a lot from KenPom. All it does is it grades your two-point shots and three-point shots equally, and it gives you kind of a flat shooting number. It's basically how good of a shooting team you are from both two and three. Barring something insane here, we're going to hit this.
Oh, jeez.
UConn hit the three to end the half.
I mean, you hit it. You got it. But it's just annoying that UConn gets the three at the buzzer. Hey, you said it perfectly. You're giving them momentum. You're already trailing. You're having dumb mistakes left and right, and you just give them that two. Four was fine. Four was doable. I guess seven's doable. I understand that. But
it could have been five
difference.
If you just take the last shot. Even if you missed that last shot,
right?
It's still five. That's where, again, the way that, and I hate that I'm right because I want Gonzaga to win for your future, but the way that that sequence just played out, if Gonzaga loses this game by a bucket, that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's a little thing. It's just looking up at the shot clock and saying, oh, it's off. We're good. We don't have to attack. And there's a time and a place. See, that's what separates, Danny, the good teams from the great teams. The good teams, they just attack. They only know. Gonzaga only knows how to attack. The great teams know when do we throttle up and when do we throttle down. That was a boneheaded play by Gonzaga. They got 1 point out of that drive. UConn got three. Yeah. It could have been zero. Huge. You could have been a net zero going into the half. Instead, you're a minus two.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
I mean, now, like you said, good three-point shooting team. Look, it feels like every three has been a dagger, but they are just 5 of 16. But Gonzaga being 1 of 9 is killer. First half total, lands 71. So you cash home.
Right on the number.
Nicely done, Jared.
Right on the number.
You said it was going to be 71, right?
I said 72 because I had 72 in
all. Okay.
I knew based off of the pace. So if you were going to ask me, and Jim Rudu has been on the show a bunch of times, but he just tweeted out the pace numbers, and he's really good at calculating the pace numbers. 36 first half possessions, 72 pace. That's a strong pace. That's a really fast pace. The second half shots are going to fall. This game's going to go over, I think. Mm-hmm. Not only for the game, but probably in the second half as well. Am I going to go nuts betting it? No, I'm 2-0 on the day. I've had a good day. I'm not going to push my luck too much. But if you want my halftime bet right now, this pace favors Gonzaga. But if they can't make shots, then it's moot. But if they make shots, this pace favors Gonzaga. But the pace really favors the over. Because if UConn is also willing to push, I mean, then the sky's the limit with this number.
So the updated total for the full game, I'm seeing 151 in the hook here. A little bit of juice to the over, minus 120.
I'd bet the over.
So about 80 and a half?
I would bet the
second half, you'd go over?
Yeah. Okay. I'd bet the over there.
Yeah.
Seems about
fair. Spread 5.5, by the way, in favor of UConn. Do you dare get involved with Gonzaga? No. Did that last sequence just take you out of it completely?
100%.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
And again, it's basketball IQ. You have to be smart at this stage. You know, if you're Gonzaga, you know you have the edge on offense. UConn is playing at your pace. You have the edge. Don't give them a free basket. But, I mean, listen, is it going to come back to bite them in the end? It might not. But UConn looks to be on top of their game tonight offensively. They look to be pretty well connected. I think this game goes over in the second half.
I like it. You just got to hope Gonzaga figures it out. Especially me. But if you do get involved in the second half over, we certainly are going to need the Bulldogs to start hitting more of their threes. They've only hit one of nine. Not very Bulldogs-like. Let's hope they flip the script. We've got one more hour to go. Jared Smith, myself, Danny Burke, stay with us. It is VSiN Live Bet Saturday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.